Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
J. Cross, how good would you say you are at the guitar?
I would say I...
Your three choices are beginner.
Yes.
Intermediate.
Yes.
Or advanced.
Probably beginner.
Okay, excellent. How would you like to move up to intermediate?
I'd really like to be an intermediate guitar player. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to be.
Good. That's about as far as you'll get.
Yes.
Unless you use Guitar Tricks.
Okay, tell me more.
Guitar Tricks is an excellent website to teach you how to move from beginner to intermediate to advanced guitar.
Okay.
Whether you're just starting out or whether, you know, you could be, you should be better than you are.
Like me.
Indeed.
Yes.
Guitar Tricks will help you move through those stages as a guitar player. And good for you, J. Cross. We have worked together with Guitar Tricks to bring a 14-day free trial to not only you, but to the listeners of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So that means I can try it for 14 days, and if I'm not into it, just cancel it.
You can, indeed.
But I'm probably going to be into it.
I think you probably will.
Okay.
You'll notice a swift advancement of your guitar skills.
Excellent.
So do you want to know where you can get this offer?
Where can you get the offer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Can you repeat that for me?
I can. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Is there like an app that you can use, or do you have to do it on your computer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
J. Cross.
Hello, Mark and gang.
And Joe Branton.
I am here for bass-related queries.
Oh, it's been a long time since we heard the bass-related queries.
I was thinking we should do, like, we should throw the listeners off the scent by, like, doing our original intro.
A throwback episode.
Yeah, do, like, the three-year-old intro.
Does that mean I need to go back to only talking about Baja Telecasters?
It's
our first week off of YouTube and everything's changed.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us this evening. As I just said, this is our first... back to the old school with audio only.
It feels good. It feels good to be able to podcast naked again.
Well, and also with this evening, we're podcasting much later than we normally would. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if it had been a live stream.
Exactly.
We're unexpectedly podding later and it would have completely muffed up the live stream. So it does feel quite good to not have to... I mean, I've not dressed up. You know, I normally put on a real flashy outfit for the video.
And now it's just you and your nipple tassels.
Indeed. Yeah, yeah. I'm just pasties all over the place.
Exactly.
Indeed. Indeed. This is the 99th episode of Guitar Nerds, by the way. We're 1 week away from the episode 100 mega quiz spectacular.
Oh, my God. I'm really worried about that. I've come last in every single quiz.
Because you just hosted the first one.
Because it was my idea.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got some...
That's the sort of creative idea that gets you to the pinnacle of your profession, isn't it? Yeah, right, I know I'm not going to win, but I want to host, so I'll suggest it.
Yeah, I was thinking I would just get to host it every time.
No. See, that's kind of like, I do a similar thing when I know if I'm like, if we're going out. What I used to do at the shop is if I knew we were going out for a pint after work... I would get a round of coffees in earlier in the day.
Oh, that's nice. Clever.
Cheap.
Because nice. I knew it was cheaper than getting a round of beers in.
That's
so you get, but it's equally as appreciated. Yeah. So you get around the coffees in at like sort of 3 o'clock or something. Don't tell anyone. You just go and get them.
I'm never going to trust you again.
Well, absolutely. How are you enjoying your cup of tea there, mate?
Yeah,
you're welcome. Okay.
I don't know if you've noticed, Jay, but I do it when I invite people around to our house to watch movies and stuff. It's so that I don't have to go out anywhere.
What do you mean, have I noticed that? Of course I've noticed that.
Speaking of the shop, as you just did, the last time we got to 100 episodes of a podcast, it was when we did it in the shop. And Mark left us.
He did.
We talked about this last week.
Who's out next?
I'm talking about it again.
Yeah, no one's out. It's going
to
be...
It scarred me. Can we host a podcast?
Can we make it to 101?
Yeah, we can.
Without a relationship breaking down.
Can we do like a Mark Packham special if we get to 101?
This is your life. You bring in like former guests.
What was that?
So next week, make sure you are listening next week, because it is episode 100. I've got an incredible quiz lined up for the boys. A few different rounds.
Sort of rounds are there?
There's some general knowledge. There's some that are based on the podcast itself.
Oh, no.
There are some that are based on certain brands. There is a sort of creative round, as far as I can remember.
Right.
It's going to be good.
Is that like you have to build a guitar out of plasticine or something?
Exactly that. Who can build the best? I mean, Matt's going to have to do it in London and then show us on the cam.
I would also suggest... I do remember that last time we did this, and I think it's in the YouTube comments of the quiz that we did. There was like all these comments of people being like, oh, I got like... 50 points and you know you losers only got like 30 points each or something, and it's like, well yeah, but you were answering all of the questions that were all like, you know, so I think what we should do is like people should
scorecards
pick an individual
team brand
and be like, right, I mean obviously nobody's gonna choose your team, but in fact they're probably all gonna be on Matt's team. Or maybe they will go with you because they'll think Mark
they
will
can
take
definitely
pity on you.
Me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they'll easily win.
But no, I think that's the thing to do, is to like everyone to like find the time to sit down and score yourself, and then let us know in the forum.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
How you got on?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a good quiz. I think I've put together something pretty awesome. So wonderful. Yeah, episode 100 next week, which will not be marred by anyone leaving the podcast. Hopefully. A few things to go over. We've been quite busy this week. Do we want to acknowledge Bo Banton?
Because you just have.
Because we went to the guitar show in Birmingham this week. And
that, I mean, that is what this episode.
That's what
is
this
about.
Episode is about, and we'll get to that. But. Driving to the guitar show this week, are you okay with talking about this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, fine. You sort of were looking at your phone, and I think you said, oh, bloody hell, what is this? Describe what you were freaked out about.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because I just decided that I was going to like sort out my Instagram and make it really... really like guitar centric and have loads of cool stuff on there, and I was thinking, I deleted some old stuff, like I had videos of me making funny noises. I was like, I'll delete these and make this a cool Instagram account for cool guitars and stuff.
I noticed you've been posting a lot more guitars recently. You're trying to go all corporate and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. And I noticed that someone, I don't know who, someone has created a spoof account of me.
Bo Banton.
Called Bo Banton.
Is it at Bo Banton?
I think so.
BoeBanton.
Yeah. And they just keep uploading pictures of my face.
It's the best, because it's so subtle. The trolling is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't know,
because I would have thought my drummer, but he's in India, so I would have thought my mate Dave, who a couple of years ago pioneered the... delete Joe Banton on Facebook
movement,
yeah, which was a big success.
He made a video showing you how to unfriend me on
Facebook.
Fantastic.
And shared that around the internet.
Absolutely.
So
fantastic.
People started unfriending me
at Bo Banton,
him, but he's just had a baby, so it's not him.
Maybe he's bored though. Maybe he's up at night with nothing better to do.
Maybe.
We suspect it might be a listener, and if it is one of you, great work. Absolutely fantastic work.
Well done.
At Bo Banton on Instagram. So,
great. So now Bo Banton's probably going to get more followers than my Instagram account, which is full of relevant guitar nerd stuff.
This is the actual mission, is How do we get Bo Banton to have more followers than Joseph underscore 900?
No. It's Joseph 900.
Well, that's the problem.
What, your Instagram handle isn't the same as your Twitter?
No.
All right, granddad.
No, yeah, but the Twitter came later. I didn't want the underscore.
What, so someone, okay.
Yeah, someone took Joseph 900 on Twitter.
Oh, are you looking to buy that
way around? So at Bo Banton on Instagram, if it is one of you listening, excellent work, massively commend you on that, as long as it doesn't get anywhere creepy, because at the moment it's funny. Don't do anything weird. Stick with the the jovial Bo Banton.
Well, they're lifting photos off of my Facebook, and definitely if you hunt through,
is your Facebook
pictures,
not private though?
No, why would you make it private? Oh, there are definitely pictures of me naked on my Facebook.
Okay, good. So Bo Banton's things will be out.
Yeah.
His bic, if you will. So, we mentioned there that we drove to the guitar show in Birmingham, which is going to be the thrust of this.
We drove to be.
Jay Cross
drove his
gallantly
white RAV4.
drove up to Birmingham to the guitar show, which is the UK's biggest guitar show. Is that right, Matt?
I think so. It's definitely... It didn't used to be.
I thought the south
now
of England was bigger.
No, definitely not. South of England was pretty small.
I guess so.
It was packed.
This one had proper stands. This one had proper dividers. and proper little cubicles for companies to actually stand in, where the South of England one was like...
just tables.
Painted and decorated tables with white cloth on.
It was really fun,
but the South of
it?
England show was more like... Yeah, it was very different because the South of England show was more like vintage stuff and dealers, and this was much more like brand focused.
Yeah,
the
South of England one was really there for people turned up with like $2,000 to buy a guitar the South of England one, whereas I think this one was more about checking stuff out.
No, I don't think so at all. We had a chat with our mate Jez, who is in charge of PRS in Europe, I think. And he was
I didn't even see it.
Jez was there, He was like, yeah, we've sold loads. It's been great.
Oh, that's great.
And
yeah,
I spoke
to MSL Pro, who were there with DV Mark and Mark Bass.
Yes.
And they sold two of the brand new
Mini
250-watt heads, which we have to talk about.
I was going to say, what you need to bear in mind is that there was a lot of builders there who you would never get to see their guitars in the shop. So if you've been a fan of them for a while, this may be your only chance to actually get and play one. So,
So Mark and I, when we were talking to Jez and looking at the PRS stand, we both sort of took a step back and went, they look all right, didn't they?
When you see a lot of PRS together, I think...
Laid out really well, really nicely.
Yeah. What's the single cut with the scratch plate?
The Myra.
Yeah, that is a cool guitar.
No, they're not single cut, they're double cut.
Oh. The Vela.
The Vela, yeah.
Yeah.
The Myra is also really cool.
I think
the Vela's double cut as well, isn't it?
Oh, is it? What's the single cut one?
Single cut one is
the 245.
You're thinking of the
Starla. That's it.
Jazz Mastery Type 1 with the TV Jones style pickup in the neck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which they're awesome.
It was just a really great show. We saw a mixture of small dealers who we hadn't heard of. There was a number of distributors there. So I can't remember the name.
Zed Music.
Well, no, I was actually thinking of, they were there, which was great. Zed Music, who are some of our new best mates.
Yeah.
So Zed Music distribute
Ormsby. Zoe and Chris.
Yeah, Zoe and Chris. They distribute Ormsby and
Cole Clark, Flaxwoods.
Yeah. They were great.
Oh, and Stonefield.
And
indeed.
Who is it? Audio Music.
Music audio distribution,
something like that. Those guys had some really amazing new pedal brands. They appear to be, and I think those two distributors are like really sort of paving the way within their own sort of little niche. Like Zed Music are obviously going after that like ultra modern guitar world, and then Musical Audio or I can't remember what they were called.
Matt, can you remember the company that's distributing Emma pedals?
No, I can't.
I've got a card somewhere, but they're doing Emma, and they're doing
Dark Glass.
They're doing Earthquaker now. Yeah. Fair
Fairfield Engineering. It's called
Fairfield Circuitry.
And Two Notes as well, which is, you know, one of our favourite brands.
And so, we've missed two or three out.
Of course.
Well, they're doing Maxon as well.
They, I think, were
Maxon
doing
Maxon and Providence.
Providence.
I'm pretty sure I can remember everything that was on there.
So it was, you know, that was really cool. And even, and I even like some of the big players, I thought the Marshall stand looked really good.
Yep.
I thought the Fender stand looked amazing. And I, you know, quite often I think at these places it can look a little bit, with the big brands, it can look a little bit fake or a little bit like sort of not cared about.
It's hard to be interesting.
Completely. But the way that Fender did it, I thought was amazing. Like, they had all of their guitars there and loads of Mustang 2s or Mustang 1s and some Sennheiser HD201s, and if you wanted to play a guitar, you went and took it off the wall, you plugged it in, and you plugged some headphones in, and you just jammed away, and they had one of every guitar there. Like, if we'd had more time, I was really disappointed I didn't get a picture next to the I really wanted an Instagram picture next to all of the offsets, because they looked incredible.
That'd be your dream. Joe Branton's done a handy list of all the things that we saw. So should we go down and just explain them? And maybe you and Matt, because we split into two teams to cover this. Me and Jay went and did some stuff, and you and Matty did some stuff. So if it's something that you and Matt covered, do you guys want to talk about it?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then me and Jay will talk about the things that we covered.
Yeah. Well, I guess, that's what we did. We split into two video teams, and we've got these videos coming out at the moment.
We have.
Listeners. You would have, there are a couple up, or maybe three up by the time you,
this podcast goes out. At the moment, we've got Ormsby and Flaxwood in one video.
That was me and Matt did Ormsby, Flaxwood, Stonefield, and Cole Clark. We didn't actually speak about Cole Clark in the video.
And then me and Jay went and did Crimson. We went and spoke to Ben from Crimson, who
is our new best mate.
We really like him. He's people will know him from his YouTube and stuff.
Completely,
but do you want to talk about the first few things that you and Matt saw?
Well, I guess first of all, Matt, we went and saw Zoe and Chris at Zed Music Distribution. Yep. And they had, I put a picture up of it on the Facebook group, the one of the Ormsby's that they had. Why don't you tell us about it?
So Ormsby were a brand that obviously has been fairly involved in the Guitar Nerds Facebook now. Joe, you've been talking about them a little bit, and it was nice to actually go and see them. And the thing that I like about those guys is that they have a proper Australia where they do sort of one-off builds, complete custom builds, but they also build guitars at World Guitars in
Korea,
which is where a lot of the kind of Chapman, Schecter, I think Reverend, like all these big brands, they're like famous for making fantastic guitars.
E2s, the ESP E2s.
En masse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But what they do is they basically design a body shape, and then, which is sort of community driven in terms of like the color and some of the pickup specs, and then they just do those in limited runs. And then once they've done it, they'll like never do it again.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they've got such a massive Instagram following and such a massive social following, they basically say, right, we've got this run coming. They're going to be in this color, this color, and this color, and then they're gone.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. I know from obviously being at GAC, and we've just taken on Ormsby as a brand, that essentially they release numbered runs. So at the moment, I think we're on run four, something like that. And as a dealer, you get the opportunity to purchase 12 guitars from that run.
Right.
And so you pick through the various finishes that have all been community driven, because they have a 3D guitar builder on their website, and a lot of it kind of comes from suggestions from there and ideas from the community from there, which is great. And they're always trying really interesting new stuff, and that's part of the GTR range, which are the Korean ones. They also offer a custom shop, obviously. And we saw Matt, one of another guy called Matt who works at Ormsby, lets his copper finish or oxidized copper finish hype machine Ormsby out to Ormsby for the show.
Is that what it's called, the hype machine?
That's the name of that guitar shape, yeah, with a shark headstock.
Is it?
Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, Matt, you saw that guitar.
Oh man, it was amazing. I mean, I got to play it as well, which was, you know, really lucky, because I think that particular guitar, they've done quite a lot of them. I think he said last time they did a run of custom ones, even though they're about 5 grand, they sold out in 66 seconds, he reckons.
What?
That's insane.
Yeah, those copper finishes, just the oxidized copper finishes, just fly.
And that's an actual copper top, so it's a thin layer of oxidized copper on top. Really nice neck, felt really nice, fan frets. Just, I mean, I'm not that sort of player, so I don't necessarily get the best out of those guitars. But I could tell that if you're, you know, that kind of more technical, you know, guitar player, they'd be amazing. I mean, they are expensive, there's no denying it, but you can feel the craftsmanship and the kind of work that's gone into it. But for the people who want that same finish but not that expensive, they actually do a like faux copper finish in these like limited runs as well, which
in the GTRs
tend to set out pretty quickly.
And they are less than £1,400.
Yes,
for the Korean ones.
That's pretty good,
for
isn't
it? Like, it's a completely unique guitar. I mean, it's not, you know, it's obviously not custom shop. It's coming out of the Korean plant, which we know is very high quality, but it's still a mini run. Like, they don't make many, you know, just about enough for guitar shops to be able to order the few dealers that are to be able to order 12 from a run. That's not a lot. So,
one thing I think I took away from this show is that there are some great, you know, UK builders out there, or, you know, there are some great luthiers out there building custom instruments for decent money.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think, you know, you can spend $3,000, $4,000 and beyond, but that's because these guys use much more exotic woods and you are paying for someone's much more hands-on time.
Definitely.
I think,
definitely.
You know, everything's... Can we still do things, you know, on the cheap, I suppose, in a sense that you don't have to spend $3,000 to get a custom built instrument, which I think's, you know, amazing, and it was good to see a bit more of that firsthand, really.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Can Jay and I talk a little bit about Crimson?
Yeah, let's move on to Crimson. Definitely.
Well, because there's very similar things going on here. So Crimson, who, if people are listening to this, they probably would have seen The Luthierist, which is their YouTube show and their podcast as well. It's Ben and I forget the other guy's name.
Begins with an S.
Yep, it does.
That's as far as I can take that.
And so we spent a bit of time. We talked about them before, and I've a little bit of a confession to make. When we talked about them, I think when you brought it up in Brand of the Week, Joe.
Yeah.
You talked about their detachable guitar.
Double necks. Because that was when I was on my hunt for a double neck.
It was. And I think I dismissed the brand entirely.
Yeah.
Mainly because I wasn't listening to what you were saying. Because I had seen their guitars before.
I mean... Well, this is it. To be honest, when I was talking about Brand of the Week, about them on Brand of the Week, I was talking about their most ridiculous adventures. Because
yes.
I spoke about that. And also the... I spoke about... Because they made a signature model for Mr. Fripp.
Indeed. But having gone to the show, having seen the guitars in the flesh, and obviously, you know, connecting the fact that they do the podcast and they do this, you know, the Luthier series, and looking more at their site, I kind of get it. So, from Dorchester, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Built in Dorchester.
Yeah, built in Dorchester. There's three standard models.
Yeah.
So there's the Descendant,
yeah,
the PAF, and then the PAF hollow body.
Yeah, and Descendant, I think it's the reason it's called that, is because it kind of looks like a telly shape, but sort of melted a bit, doesn't it?
It's like an offset telly.
Yeah. And then, again, they offer, similar to Ormsby, they offer complete custom stuff, and then they offer a production range.
Yes.
Which I think the Descendants, with like flame maple top and...
£1,800.
Flame maple back of the neck, I think, were £1,800,
which
something
is crazy.
Along those lines. Yeah,
which is
great.
When you think maple neck,
you do,
it wasn't a veneer on the neck.
No,
it
wasn't.
It's just a flame. It's a piece of flame maple.
If you if you watch the video, I rewatched it today after obviously doing the interview, and because I'm a bit of a narcissist like that,
nice.
Of course.
I sort of didn't really catch it at the time, or I didn't really appreciate what he said, but he was like, when I was like, oh wow, that neck, that flame looks amazing, he was like, yes, I bought a tree.
You sort of glossed over it
at the time. I think you just sort of laughed.
I did. I thought he was like joking.
No, he bought an entire tree.
And then we sort of moved over. We moved on, and I was like, oh wait, no, he bought a tree.
Yeah, because it's worth mentioning that the back plates are wooden as well.
Those back plates look astonishing.
It's hard to describe. The back plates kind of form part of the back of the body. You need to go onto the website
it's
and
such
see.
Such great attention to detail.
And he said that it was like a 2 a.m. eureka moment.
Yeah.
Like, jumped out of bed to go and finish off or something.
So they're made out of the same flame maple from what I can remember. And yeah, so the Descendant range, are you laughing because he said jump to finish it off?
Yeah.
Jumped out of bed to finish it off. I thought you were.
Very good.
Classic Bo Banton. So the Descendants I thought were really cool, like the standard models with the flamed finishes and stuff. But for me, that's too much down the Joe Branton school of new guitars.
Completely, yeah. And so the other thing that they offer,
yeah,
is the Raw series.
Indeed.
Which is...
Oh, this is such a good idea.
So the Raw series are their standard line guitars, so the Descendant, the PAF... Or the PAF, maybe it wasn't
the PAF
hollow.
I don't think they do a hollow yet.
And what they do is they buy offcuts
or diseased wood.
Woods that like a normal, sensible guitar company
wouldn't use.
Would go, this looks ridiculous. Nobody would ever want to buy this.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to make a guitar out of it. Crimson go, this looks ridiculous. No one could ever possibly want to buy a guitar out of it. I'm going to make a guitar out of it, and then I bet someone will buy it.
Yeah.
So, they had some of those models there, and they've got like they're like pieces of wood with holes with like
there was one with
worm rot and and like chunks missing out of it, and you know it's great. Like we talked about it. We talked about that sort of character a couple of years ago when Fender did that run of
made out of like the bridge and made the out of
yeah when they
stuff.
Found like
what
yeah
was
like,
that called what was that run called
Matt? There was some Telebration there
it wasn't a Telebration
which one sorry the Redwoods
yeah
like the ones that were built out of the barn doors
there was
that had the nail going through
and there was like a 200
one of the best tellies
yeah it was like a 200 year old bridge or something they made, and it's you know it's that sort of thing, you know, you can really see that there's a bit of character. It's not just and that's what I think a lot of these things are about, you know, it's not about a sort of production line. That's where the premium comes from, you know.
That and so those guitars are £1,400 standard.
Yeah.
That one with the woodworm in it. I think we're going to meet up with Crimson at some point, and I might ask him if he might do us a special deal on that.
Really?
Yeah.
That guitar looked great.
Yeah. But the necks still look incredible. Like
Wenge.
Yeah.
Wenge necks.
Yeah. Why aren't all necks Wenge?
That guitar is fantastic.
The thing I like is that you'll never get. As they say on their website, because you can pre-order a Raw series for £700, and basically it's because that no two will ever look the same.
Yeah,
that's
body
so
shape,
good.
But they'll never ever look the same, because I think, you know, a part of the reason that Fender obviously started using block colours way back was because they were using more wood and bigger, bolder colours covered up wood imperfections. But now it's something that kind of people are shouting about, because it is, and that's what we saw a lot of people using, like wood bowls and like really exotic woods that give you way more character. I think we saw one builder that they had a piece of wood from a tree from Kew Gardens that Queen Victoria planted.
Who was that? Like, which
that was Flame.
That
guitars.
Was Flame, wasn't it? Oh yeah, yeah, I really liked those guitars.
Just use old Queen Victoria's tree. Yeah, easy. But yeah, I mean, just to wrap up on Crimson, one of the other things he was quite big on is like buying more obscure British woods rather than importing stuff. So he had a British Elm guitar there.
Yeah, that looked beautiful.
Because British Elm, I think a lot of that is kind of ravaged by
Dutch
Elm disease. So that's why it looked all like weird and figured, I think.
Yeah,
which
is why
it looked all like cut away and stuff.
The other thing, Ben also said he's going through a copper phase at the moment.
Yes, lot of so there was a couple of guitars there, some of them with like pressed copper tops. So they looked like sort of velvety. But also there was one there which... I can't remember what he said he'd done to it. It was like spackled copper. Do you remember that? It was a path.
It was
hollow body.
It was a path hollow body.
He then blowtorched it.
That was it. He blowtorched it, which is why.
Yeah. It was like, okay, cool. Here's a bonkers idea. I'll make a guitar with a copper finish. I mean, obviously not, because a lot of people are doing it now. But you know, here's something that will appeal to 5% of the guitar playing population.
Yeah.
How can I make this even less desirable? Oh, I'll blowtorch it so it looks bananas. But it looked amazing.
How long has it been a luthier? Did he say
20 years?
I just wondered how long.
He said the company's been going 4 years. I think, was that right, Jay?
I'm not sure.
Sure, he said something about 4 years. And he's got like 20
people
on staff now. I think there's like 8 of them that make the guitars. And everyone else is kind of
doing bits and bobs,
doing the business side of things.
So many of the guys that, you know, I think we spoke to, especially me and Joe spoke to, basically haven't been doing it very long. Like, no. Everyone's like relatively new.
There does seem to be a bit of resurgence in British guitar makers. Yeah,
weird. British made guitars seem to be.
They're in.
Do
you want to talk about another luthier that you saw?
Yeah, sure.
Or another amp brand, whatever you want to talk about.
We can talk about a luthier. Matt, do you want to talk a bit about Hathaway guitars? That was quite an interesting one.
Yeah, they were these guys were really good. Once again, they've not been building guitars very long at all.
No.
Father and son team that build completely carbon fiber instruments.
Oh, I saw these.
Oh, they look great.
They look sort of like super strat, double cut super strat.
Yeah, like but an extreme double cut. So you get like full access like you do on an SG.
Yes.
Yeah, it was totally cool.
Yeah. So they were like carbon fiber neck and fretboard with carbon fiber body. Obviously still got the metal parts like bridge and everything, but just a really different approach. And, you know, they were like the man hours that go into it are obviously pretty extreme because you can't use normal tools. They had to like manufacture certain tools themselves to kind of work with it. But it was a conscious decision they made from day one. It's like, we want to build a carbon fiber guitar. And that was, they felt really nice to play. They were pretty lightweight.
I love the sort of mottled checker of the fretboard.
Yeah, I mean, it just had that great carbon fiber look. I mean, and the thing is, they were like, we're so new at kind of doing this sort of thing. We can sort of go down the custom route. We can talk about, you know, if you go to those guys, you can pretty much talk about anything you want. They're kind of open for designing it in any way. And unfortunately, as I said on a few of the videos, it's not the best place to get an audio demo for the guys at home listening on the YouTube videos. But so many of these guys were so welcoming and like, oh, we'll bring one down to you or you can come to the workshop. And those guys are actually based in Teddington, which isn't far from me. So we said we might go and pick one up or they might come and drop one down that we can do a proper demo on it.
They'd actually just started doing a range of guitars with artwork just on the fretboard.
Okay, of course.
It was great. It was kind of like Rorschach artwork all down the fretboard.
Okay.
Which was just so...
Because I'm trying to think, mate, doing a finish on carbon fiber.
Yeah.
Is it like inlaid into the carbon fiber?
I don't know.
Well, the paintwork was straight over.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's just polished in a certain way, if it comes out slightly more raw and then it's polished and buffed up. I don't know if it comes out that kind of slick straight out of the mold, but yeah, they said they could pretty much do any finish. And it was, I think, I can't remember how long they said they've been doing it for now. Not very long at all.
No,
it was definitely go on, Matt.
Yeah, so yeah, they seem like they were kind of really keen to sort of do something a bit different, which I kind of like.
Someone else doing something a bit different, Jay, was HJ Williams.
Yes.
Who, I guess he... I was just seemed like a one-man operation, really. Someone I'd not heard of before, but some interesting guitars, some interesting ideas.
Yes.
Three models?
Yes, there was the...
The Evo was
the
his...
The Mojo?
Yes.
There was a model that looked a bit like a Strat.
Which was more like a Super Strat.
More like a Super Strat.
Which was the Evo.
There was a model that looked like a Les Paul that I think was called the 59?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was another model that I can't remember the name
of. Which I think he said he didn't have.
Yeah, maybe.
I think he just had 59s and the Evo. So Evo was...
59?
Something like that.
Or was it... Maybe, no,
no
that, maybe that
58.
Was...
58.
Is that what it's called?
Little 58.
Little 58.
Okay. Yeah, I've just checked.
And it had... there was one that he had there that had like a 24-carat gold...
He had...
24-carat gold...
Plated.
Leaf?
24-carat gold leaf finish.
What?
It was ridiculous.
It was. And it wasn't bananas money either. I can't remember off the top of my head.
$4,500?
I don't think it was even that much.
Maybe it was $3,500. I think it was $2,500 for the Evo guitars, which were... So basically, kind of Ibanez RG style, Floyd Rose, uncover pickups.
Available in 6 or 7 string.
Yeah, six or seven string. Beautifully made, like just incredibly well built. Matt, you've probably got some more spec there.
Yeah, is it the Evo? Yeah, it's just called the Evo. So he actually designed that way back in the mid 90s and then redesigned it in 2010. So in terms of spec, you're looking at basswood body, figured redwood, which is why it looks so nice. And they do either a black finish or tiger eye and black, so black back with a tiger eye top. All Goto hardware, Damasio pickups. I'm assuming if he's naming it Evo, he's going for that Ibanez gem.
It was very much that sort of vibe. It was like a...
Because that's the name of Steve Vai's number one gem.
Yeah, exactly. And I think his pickups were called the Evo or Evolution pickups or something, weren't they? So,
Yeah,
so that was one option. But yeah, it was really that little 59 that stood out, that one that was just like...
58,
sorry, that was gold-plated or gold leaf. Just ridiculous bit of guitar building. And like you say... I thought he was going to go, yeah, it's sort of like 10 grand.
Yeah, same.
And it was surprisingly affordable.
Considering what it was surprisingly affordable. And yeah, they were handmade in, I think he was from Carlisle, I think he said.
Yes, Carlisle.
I had it in my head, it was Carlisle, so north of England.
So that
I suppose that's the thing. If you, I was going to say, if you go to these shows now, you can probably get these builds cheaper because these guys aren't as well known. It's once they start getting the word out, and then everyone wants one, that's when the prices go up.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. The only thing about that, the interview that we shot, Jay, there was still, we did it while there was like other guitar playing going on.
Oh, it was so loud.
And that would have been fine. Your voice was fine.
Yes.
And that's not something I normally say.
Well.
He had the...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quietest voice,
yes,
I think I've ever heard. So we did shoot an interview with him. Whether that will make it onto YouTube, I have no idea.
I hope so, because they were very cool looking guitars.
And he was really interesting.
He really,
really
was
interesting,
yes,
to talk to. But I had the quietest voice I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Joe Branton, do you want to do maybe do a couple more?
Because
that's all Jay and I saw in terms of like UK luthiers. We also went to see Orange, and we stopped by Marshall.
And there was an amp company.
There was an amp company. We could talk
Rift
about
Rift Amps.
Yeah, we saw Rift Amps. Let's just do that quickly, and then you can cover a few more bits. So Rift Amps. I forget the chap's name. Small British company with a range of 8 or 9 different models, I believe.
No, 16 models.
16 models.
16 models. And as far as I can tell, all based off of Fenders.
Yeah, pretty much.
down to the, like, the aesthetics and the badge and everything.
I think I saw these. These were right at the front with the House of Tones.
They were.
Stand.
They were, yes.
Yeah. They were all, like, tweed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yes and no.
Rich, orangey.
They had, like, blackface stuff. I think he does some silverface stuff as well. And they sounded absolutely phenomenal. The tweed one, which I guess is based on like
a little champ
or something. Sounded incredible when someone was demoing there. Unbearably loud in show environment.
So loud, yeah.
But on stage, I would imagine, would be fantastic.
Yeah, he was, from what I remember, he was saying like it sort of came from wanting, because the 57 champs were 10-inch speakers, I think.
Something
originally.
Like that.
And I think from what he was saying before we went on camera, he was like, yeah, I wanted one, but I wanted a 12-inch one, so just made one.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mates liked it, so they asked me to make me, you know, and that's how it sort of, I think he kind of like fell into it. I don't think he, from what I gathered,
he said he started making them in an airing cupboard.
Yeah.
That he had basically taken the boiler out, or taken the water tank out of, and that was his workshop. He'd stand outside the airing cupboard and build things in the airing cupboard, and that's his workshop. And now he's saying that he basically is... got capacity to build 1 amp a week, and he's selling 2 amps a week. So it seems to be going quite well. But yeah, it didn't blow me away, because price-wise, they were still fairly expensive. They weren't...
Yeah.
I don't think they were quite as expensive as the Fender equivalent, in fact. I think they were probably the slightly less. But I didn't get the same blown away feeling I got from like Honey Boy, for example, where we were like,
where it was like, oh, these are £600.
Or whatever, 649 or something ridiculous.
They looked amazing though. They looked very, very cool, and they really did sound astonishing.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely one to look out for, I think.
Yeah, definitely check them out on the site.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say the one that I thought looked really good was their Plexi, actually. Their Marshall Bluesbreaker Plexi, which is the Plexi 18, because it's only $13.95.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is actually cheaper than the Marshall equivalent.
They didn't have that on display at the show, I think. I didn't see it there, unless you saw it, Matt, and we missed it.
I was just having a look on their website, but check it out on, I think their website is riftamps.com.
The quality of the Fender stuff that they were doing there was absolutely impeccable, like that little champ, just the way that it was Tolexed and stuff, and just the build overall seemed pretty premium for something that I think is less than the Fender equivalent. So pretty spot on. Do check out the site. Joe Branton, do you want to tell me about Rabswood guitars?
Well, actually, it depends how much time I've got, because we did go around a lot of the unique ones.
If you're going to pick two more things to talk about,
well, I want to talk about Stonewolf. But I also think Reva or AC deserve an honourable mention. We should briefly mention Rabswood as well. And of course, we have to talk about the Sonus.
Okay, well, let's do Stonewolf guitars first.
Okay, cool. Well, Stonewolf were probably the most eccentric custom shop brand there, I think.
Something. There was quite a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Knight, why don't you tell us a bit about Stonewolf?
So Stonewolf... oh, to be honest, I forget the guy's name. I met so many people. I'm just like, what was his name again? There was a team of about five of them. They were all really nice people, and they have been building guitars. He started off as doing it as a hobby, self-taught, and I thought, for the quality of the stuff that he's doing, I honestly couldn't believe it. It was like so pro. He doesn't even have a proper website at the moment. I think he's just got a Blogspot and a Facebook and an Instagram. So Stonewolf guitars, but he builds like standard wood. He's also got really into doing burl woods with a injected polymer finish.
So he was saying that the coolest thing,
a burl of wood is like a piece of wood that's like half flat, half curved at the back, that's not generally big enough to make a whole body out of, and it's usually like the end, so it's kind of like pretty gnarled, and it's got like, so he takes that, sits it in a mold, and then basically gradually fills it up with like lucite, and then you get basically a finished body that he then injects dye in, so either clear or black. So they're pretty like metal in their design, I suppose. They take kind of a little thing of like BC Rich perhaps, all fitted with bare knuckle pickups.
They had
glow in the dark fret markers, which I thought was amazing.
So cool.
Both side and front. And then like some of the necks were like a mixture of like ebony and rosewood, all exotic tops.
Yeah, and but the purple heart. He used purple heart a lot in the necks.
Yeah, purple. Like one of the fretboards was like five woods.
Just ridiculous.
Like the actual fretboard was like five different woods. It was like really, for what he was doing, it was just him building it. I was like, amazing.
Oh, they were so good.
The highlight
was that signature model.
The signature model he'd built for his mate who plays in a Viking metal band.
Of course.
Which was like an Explorer.
A seven-string Explorer.
Seven-string Explorer, where the bottom six strings were tuned B to B, like a baritone, and then the lowest string was a low fifth. But it was fretless from the 15th fret upwards. so he could capo the 15th fret and then play the fretless part like a lute for his Viking metal band.
Oh my word.
That is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Were the staff at the event centre all right with you changing your trousers in the toilets?
Oh, because yeah.
I can imagine you getting rather excited.
I think we saw Stonewolf when we went to the South of England guitar show as well. I don't think we went and like saw them.
They look terrifying. So yeah. We avoided them.
But they really do. These are like, they're like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah, they're quite
guitars,
ridiculous,
aren't they? You can imagine Tormund Giant's Bane.
They are for Viking metal bands and pirate metal bands. They've very much got that
sweet
broad appeal.
Model.
They've got that broad appeal,
a broadsword appeal, if you will.
But they were so well made, and there were actually a couple of quite subtle ones as well.
No, there were
subtle-ish. I think they were, and they were incredible for the money because they were not. We were not talking about a lot of money. Like we were sub $2,000 on most of them.
I love how you said that's not a lot of money.
For a UK custom shop.
Yeah, I mean, his guitar started, I think he said, at like 1700.
Yeah, which is
if you had an all-wood one. And then if you went for an epoxy one, which was like wood and resin, it was like started at like 2,200, just because the amount of time that it takes to do it. But if you go to SW_guitars and have a look at some of the photos, you'll see the...
On Instagram.
Black resin and Bold's top one. Yeah, sorry, on Instagram. And it's just, it looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah, they were incredible.
They really do look good.
Yeah. The other brand that I want to mention, although we barely covered half, and I kind of feel like, I know we've got to go off and talk about some other things, we should try and talk about some of the others next week.
Next week on episode 100, quiz.
No, but we're going to miss out on loads of cool
it's
things.
The quiz.
There's so
People
much
need
more
to
talk about.
Well, they need to look at the YouTube
Like Matt
videos.
Amp were there. We saw Matt Amp. They had the green. That was really cool. Well, I'll just briefly mention some others in that
case.
Okay,
let's do one more that you want to talk about in depth, and then some honourable mentions.
Okay.
And then we'll do some questions, because we always forget to leave enough time for questions.
So you know how I love travel guitars.
So Mark and I nearly went to this brand. And
well, we did go to them. We talked to them.
So this is I'm just going to jump in and see you, Thunder. We went to, Mark and I were looking at the Sonus stand. We know Sonus through their weird like expression effects.
The
Wahoo was always a fan favorite, and we went there to go and check them out, and we'd never met anyone from Sonus, and they didn't know who we were, obviously, so we just went and introduced ourselves, and he was like, if you're more guitar orientated, maybe you'd like to see this travel guitar that we've got. And as soon as he said
I went no,
no, not really. No, not. Yes, that is what happened, but
in a slightly more subtle way.
Yeah, absolutely. But the reason that we said no was more to do with, not because of our disinterest, but because we knew that you would absolutely love it.
Oh my
and
God.
I really did think, I felt a bit bad because I thought that the chap whose name I can't remember, he was
Dr. James.
I did think he thought we were fobbing him off slightly, which wasn't the intention, but it was just like we knew you would be super excited. Anyway, I'll let you
I was so excited. So I'm constantly on the hunt for the ultimate travel guitar.
What did you call me?
What?
Nothing.
Now I think I found the ultimate travel guitar.
Go on.
So Sonus, it was only a prototype. And I'm going to upload some video footage onto our Instagram and probably the Facebook group to explain how brilliant this travel guitar was. So, when they've made this travel guitar, they've thought about what is everything that a guitarist needs from a travel guitar. Well, firstly...
Something that folds up and you can put it in the bin.
Folds up is part of it. I was going to come to that last, but let's go for it first. It folds up. So the entire neck is on a pivot. So the guitar moves around. So it's not forward. It doesn't fold into itself. It folds round. The strings themselves are kept under a bar on the nut, so the strings won't fall out everywhere. Yeah. And you can unclip the guitar and fold it round into itself.
It's like a flick knife.
Yeah, like that's, a flick knife. Yeah, that's the sort of thing.
Yeah,
but you can just immediately fold it out. And it's there, and it's playable. And, what do you need travel guitars for? Writing. So what have they done? onboard looper with a start and a stop, a little red button and a little green button for sort of
which one does which?
I couldn't tell you. Okay. Who knows?
I imagine red is record.
But yeah, so a built-in
built-in drum machine.
No.
It's not a Vox Apache.
Yeah, exactly.
What
it's other, not a Vox Apache.
What outputs does it have?
Well, exactly. Outputs-wise, you might want to record. So it's got a USB output, as well as a mini jack for your headphones, as well as an ordinary one, and a built-in tuner.
Of course.
And
what else?
MIDI.
It does have. Did it have MIDI?
It had MIDI out.
It did. It had the G2M MIDI out, so you could basically go MIDI into any. Well, anything that would take basically would accept note velocity MIDI in, and then plug it in. So you could even plug it into like your computer and into guitar tabbing software, and as you played, it would tab it for you.
Oh my goodness!
It really was. I mean, it was Sonos all over, really. In that it was
stupid.
Well, stupid probably brilliant. Wasn't the word I was going to go for. What I was going to go for was like. Incredibly niche.
Yes.
You know, their expression pedals are not for the faint-hearted, and this guitar is not for the faint-hearted either. So, yeah, really weird.
It's kind of them just saying, this is everything that we make in one instrument.
Yeah, absolutely.
To show you how portable you can do it. Because they're not even sure whether it would even ever make it to market. It's more
a showpiece, like an example of their capabilities.
You know, yeah. But the kind of the Wahoo and the volume, which are their two pedals, are really good, because when I was talking to the other guy about the volume pedal, he was basically saying, in one unit, we wanted to do everything that we could possibly think you could do with volume. We wanted to make sure it was available that unit. So compression limiting. Tremolo, everything was in there basically.
Did they give any indicator on price of this travel
monstrosity?
No,
they didn't. It's really early days.
It looked very, very unfinished, I must say.
Yes, but it was totally awesome.
Do you want to do a couple of honourable mentions
and then
we'll dive headfirst into the pool that is questions?
Cool. Okay, well, yes, also we had a chat with AC Guitars, who are actually a bass. Luthier,
a sort of relatively famous
Scottish luthier who make really, really like awesome, like 8 month lead time now. That's how backed up they are for orders. They've launched Reva guitars.
Okay. So they're a bass brand called something guitars.
AC guitars.
Oh, yeah. You were trying to explain this to me while I was driving.
Launched a guitar brand called Reva Guitars.
Yeah, exactly. I struggled to sort of find the site and stuff when I was trying to tag them, and just ended up tagging AC guitars anyway.
Okay.
But they had a bit of both. He had his AC stuff and he had his Reva stuff. But what was super cool is he's just released a kind of Strandberg, Ormsby Goliath style headless model, which Matt, you got to see a bit of that.
Yeah, what is it called? The Compact. With a K.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah. I just think it's nice that people are going down that kind of time, and the way that kind of guitar playing is going for a lot of people. Those sort of designs really work better for tuning and for kind of the technique that people are using. Those guitars work way better. You know, like I say, for someone like me who's not really a great player but, you know, kind of enjoys playing, a Les Paul or a Fender's always going to be fine. I don't think I'd ever move that way, but there are a lot of more modern progressive players, and for the money, he said that they're normal. I think they start at $19.99.
Yeah, that's
which
right,
is
yeah.
still cheaper than some of the Strandbergs, and they're custom made, because a custom made Strandberg I think starts like $3,000 in their like Japanese factory.
Yeah,
blimey.
So they were still incredible value for money.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, once again, it's like all exotic woods. So it's a chance to kind of get something with tonal woods that probably most companies wouldn't bother offering.
Black Limber was the one that he offers a lot, and it's very hard to get hold of, which is actually part of the reason for the 8 month lead time.
Wow.
On his guitars.
So wait for the tree to grow.
Yeah.
And he said he actually builds stuff in batches. So he'll build like loads of bodies, then loads of necks and stuff like that. But you can like customize certain specs about it, but you can't do a completely like drawing and he'll copy it. But he'll like,
no, he has a series of shapes and you can sort of custom within that. You can define woods.
Do you want to talk about one more thing?
Yes, yeah, sure. The other thing I think we should definitely mention is that Mark Base and DV Mark were there.
Yes.
And they were there with a new head that was at NAMM, but we haven't really spoken about. And still really, other than like a couple of, actually only one NAMM video, no one's really spoken about them. And the fella that was there from Italy for Mark Base and DV Mark said that they'd only like launched them 6 days ago, but then I mean I don't know where he launched them because they're not on the internet yet.
No, he just launched one. He just put it on a catapult and launched it. Yeah,
clearly. But they released a DV Mark and Mark Base head, both called the Evo 1.
Yeah.
Again, Matt Knight, you got to check this out quite a lot, and these
Sorry, I was going to say, when we did the video, we kind of mainly focused on the guitar stuff because the bass stuff we're going to try and cover at the bass show.
Yeah, next week.
Next week.
Really, yeah, but the DV Mark, I think the DV Mark Evo 1 was a really interesting piece of guitar kit.
Yeah, because it's basically, and I think, you know, they've kind of taken the feedback from a lot of people is, love the multi-amp, I love Kemper, I like Axe FX, but what I hate is menus. But I want different amp modeling options, so you can basically plug it into your computer. It's got the same inbuilt technology as the multi-amp, but you can only load 6 amps into it.
12 because it's got two channels.
Oh, 12 because it's got two channels. But yeah, six amps per channel, and then it just works like normal amplifier.
Yeah, except, so you can split between those two channels on the flick of a button like you would a clean and a crunch channel.
Can't you also blend
blend the two channels.
Only on the bass.
Only on the bass one.
Yeah.
Only on the bass one, not on the guitar one. But I thought that was a really nice touch.
A sort of minimized...
A lot of time, that's all you're going to use.
Yeah, definitely. A minimized version of the multi-amp or, you know, like a Kemper or an Axe FX or Positive Grid, like a minimized version of that is a great idea because that is one of the, you know, the things putting me off going for Positive Grid is that there is so much involved in actually tailoring your sound. Like, if there's something you don't quite like about your sound, where do you go to change it? Like, do you go into the valve menu, the preamp menu, the power amp? Yeah. Do you change the head completely?
Much stuff.
Yeah, there's too much stuff. And I love that they've minimized it. It's still got all the versatility of those amps, but cut down, really usable. They've thought about its application live, which is, of course, the one thing none of these amps think of. Like Helix and Positive Grid, especially, like, really hard to manipulate those things live. This amp is totally live use friendly, and the best bit is about £700.
Yeah, it's cheap.
That's gonna be. This is a game changer. Evo 1.
I can't believe you're saying nice things about Mark Base.
I have to say,
really likes it
with all this stuff. So this stuff that kicked off with the Oscars. That the Oscars was broadcast last night, and that, you know, this thing where they read the name out wrong and. Like, everyone's saying it's like a mad plot twist. My favourite M. Night Shyamalan plot twist of 2017 is when Joe Branson starts gigging Mark Base.
When he buys one.
Mark Base rigs. When it's just like, that's absolute peak Joe Branson.
Well, I'm gonna go try it out at the bass show next week, but £700 for... And I was thinking about getting a Positive Grid, you know, and this is like a live application version of that for £700. That is super cool.
Listen to now he comes
crawling back.
Yeah, absolutely. He's gonna isolate this little nice little segment that he said and send it over as a way to try and get an endorsement.
Definitely. Now, you know, we like to be positive normally on the Guitar Nerds podcast, but before we end this segment, Joe J. Simpson, we should shout out our worst booth, which is the... we should talk about Tokai.
So, I don't really know what happened. We went over to go and...
Wait, you went over? You went to talk to them?
We went over to go and talk to them to find out sort of what the deal was. And... yeah, I don't know. I don't think they knew, really. They were wearing like a
all white
like mixture between like a, I don't know. They looked a bit like they were. It was very odd. I got a very weird vibe.
Yeah, it was kind of like they'd turned up dressed up, I don't know, like you would to a some sort of car sales thing. It was a bit weird.
Yeah, they had like Tokai uniforms on. So we sort of went up and said to them, like, what's going on? Like, do you want to talk to us? And what did the lady say?
She said, I think it's better that you don't talk to me because I don't know anything. I'm paraphrasing, but that's more or less what it was. And the other person who was there was sort of busy, so we went, oh, we'll just come back in a bit. And we didn't, because very weird vibe. And the thing that really confused me about Tokai is, like, you know, they're like a relatively sort of high-end Chinese company, like, right. Relatively high-end.
Well, Japanese originally.
But nowadays, Chinese company. Whereas, like, you know, so they're doing, like, a vintage thing or a Harley Benton thing. But, like, the guitars are exactly the same. There's no different, like, the Strat copy looks exactly like a Strat. The Les Pauls look exactly like a Les Paul. You know, there's no change to the headstock. I don't know how they're getting away with it. And if they're now really, like, doing a bit more of a push.
Yeah. I've always thought about them as a slightly dodgy copy company.
Well, they were, because they were Ibanez lawsuit type company originally, weren't they? But they've always
been known to be very good, and I was like wanting to go up and chat to them and get a demo maybe, and then meeting the booth representative was not a great experience.
I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, I do want to get myself a Tokai uniform though.
That is all that event is there for, so that you talk to people about your product.
White branded Tokai t-shirt and white jeans. I'm into it.
They'd just hired a marketing company to do it.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happened. But on a slightly more positive note, and I'll just talk about this very briefly. So Gordon Smith were there with Blackstar.
Yeah.
And I think there's some sort of link there now, which is great. You know, again, Gordon Smith getting a bit of a, you know, being dragged back from the depths of disappearing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden at a major guitar show. And I thought that was great.
They had something like 8, 10, 12... guitars on display, and they all looked absolutely
including
banging.
Left-handers and stuff. It was all good.
You know, that was really great to see. It's because it was a shame when it looked like they were about to disappear. And they didn't. So great stuff.
That's got to be the best quality £700 you can spend.
They're very good. Yeah, all the Shergolds. Shergolds, nice.
Oh yeah,
talking about UK brands back from the dead. Should we got time for maybe one or two questions? Matt Knight, are you back with us? Your line dropped out for a second.
I am indeed. Yeah. I've been listening. No,
intently.
I haven't. No,
intently. I have. Okay, so let's dive into some
questionable men.
Joe says, "What's your make gooder pedal?" I think the actual term is make gooderer.
Yeah, gooderer.
But we can go around that. Let's go around the table. Matt Knight, what's your favourite make gooderer?
That's a tricky one because I've had a lot of them. I still like, although I haven't had one for a while, I still like the Pigtronics Class A Boost.
Yes.
I thought it was very good. Or the Zvex Super Duper 2-in-1, my kind of probably two all-time favourite clean boost slash make
everything.
Is the 2-in-1
a
nice
boost? Is 2-in-1 just a clean boost?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Jay Cross?
So I've been thinking about this a lot since Joe posted this. Poe Puttick. since he posted this on the group, and I think the answer would be for me the Boss RE20, because it does just makes everything sound better. However, I'm a bit frustrated because I thought back to what I would consider a real eye-opening moment for me, and what I would consider to be the original make gooderer pedal, which was the Pigtronics Class A Boost.
Yeah.
When we plugged that in, the first time we plugged that in with an 18-volt power supply, I honestly don't think I'd ever heard the electric guitar sound that good.
Yeah.
It was really, really... And so this would have been, what, Matty, 2000 and... 2010 we started.
Yeah, and I think it was one of the, definitely one of the first things we talked about on the podcast.
Yeah,
what basically, as you say, like coined the term. So yeah, I mean, it must be a good 6 years now.
Yeah, maybe it was a little bit later than that. But yeah, 2010, 2011, really just like, and it again, they're a brand that have sort of disappeared a little bit, which is a real shame because they were, for a while, they were doing some absolutely great pedals.
Bo Banton?
Oh, for God's sake. yeah, it's tricky. Like, four pedals spring to mind, okay. Four separate pedals. Two Boss and two MXR.
These are bass focused, I take it.
Yes.
But some of them, RE20.
No, for Boss, and it sort of would seem the most obvious for me to point out compression as a make gooder for bass, because I think it's an essential. And I think Boss's new BC1X, the bass compressor, is the best compressor I've ever used.
Okay.
And yeah, that adds kind of a sparkle to your sound in the same way that I think of the MXR microamp, which is one of the other ones that I think is a real essential make gooder pedal,
yep,
for bass. Like Flea uses a microamp at the end of his chain for everything, and yeah, it's just they add that sort of sparkly grit without it driving, which I just think is priceless. The other MXR one is the Dynacomp, which I think is just like the most quintessential compressor. I've sort of moved away from those squashy ones recently, but yeah, the Dynacomp I think is, and maybe is getting a bit under, there's so much compression out there and everyone's moving towards multiband, and I think the Dynacomp's maybe not being used as much as it was, but the Dynacomp is a totally, like, just everything will sound banging with a Dynacomp. And the last one, which is a really weird one, which is kind of not something you'd think of as a make gooderer, but really is on all the new stuff that I've been playing since I've got one, is the Boss VB2W, the vibrato.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, but I virtually don't turn it off on all my band's new stuff.
I think that speaks
stuff.
More about you and your ridiculous music than it does about the VB2.
Yeah, probably. But it's just a totally, like, you can be, like, I only ever used the standard setting on it. I never used the custom. But yeah, I found that with all the Wessercraft pedals. Like, I'm sure if you're doing, maybe it's if you're a guitarist, you might use the custom stuff, but bass effects tend to be, in general, they need to be more subtle anyway. But yeah, just on the standard setting, you can make that sort of wobble quite, you know,
wobble.
not overpowering. Yeah.
Wobble?
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 Is that a word?
Wobble.
What is it good for?
Oh, wobble. Can I say wobble instead?
Yeah, just say wobble.
Oh, that's cool. I'll keep with that.
Wobbles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but yes, a nice subtle VB2W, I think. And you know, vibrato, hugely underestimated, make gooderer.
Yeah. I think it's difficult to have it on all the time. But
no, I disagree.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, obviously, the Dunlop Echoplex preamp. We talk about that all the time. But in more recent stuff that we've demoed, again, I'm going for, back to the compression well, the JHS, forget what it was
Pulp
called
and
now.
Peel.
Pulp and Peel, the orange one, which is a
version 4.
Brilliant, brilliant sounding compressor that I think you could use with super clean stuff. You could use it with drive to fatten things up. Just a really, really good make gooder that you could definitely leave on.
Hold
all the
phone. Jay Cross didn't say the harmonic percolator.
He did not.
I didn't, no.
Would you leave that on all the time, though?
No.
Why not?
Because
it's nasty sounding.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
In a good way.
I mean, it sounds horrible in a good way, but yeah, I mean, it sounds dreadful.
Right.
I tell you the other thing that I did think of there, though, that that was another real watershed moment for me, was the Empress Buffer.
Oh yeah,
first came out, the, you know, a pedal that you don't turn off, it's just a buffer.
Yeah,
really, really opened my eyes to what, you know, what a buffer was, what a buffer could be, and you know, in another way, why true bypass pedals are dumb and for dummies and losers.
Talking about dummies and losers, it's time to wrap up this podcast.
Yeah,
describes us aptly.
Can I add one bit of news? Tiny bit of news.
You're not leaving the podcast.
I'm leaving. As of the 27th of February, with this podcast been recorded.
Sorry, what month?
If you listen to it as in 27th of February. What do you think I said?
He said February.
Okay, that might have been an internet glitch.
Oh.
Go on.
Andertons currently have a second-hand Fender Cyber Twin for £299.
Don't
I recommend at least one person goes out and buys possibly the greatest amp.
Do not do it.
And
wait, wait,
and
what
then,
is the Cyber Twin?
And then donates it to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is the Cyber Twin?
Fender Cyber Twin SE amp is Fender's best guitar amp, a 2x12 combo with tube preamp, reconfigurable analog and digital circuitry with motorized knobs.
Awful. Bloody awful. Finished in, it was in my top...
Motorized.
Was in my top five guitar fails video on YouTube. Anyway... Oh, yeah. We are well over time. We need to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. We are going to go and record the Patreon episode. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. We have opened it up to the Facebook group as to what they want us to talk about each week. And this week, the winner of that poll was the worst delay. No.
The worst pedals
ever. We are going to talk about the worst pedals ever over on the Patreon episode this week. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. Whereas from as little as $1 a month, you can support Guitar Nerds at $1 a month, you get the regular podcast episode ad-free and earlier than normal. At $5 a month, you get the extra half an hour where we're going to talk about the worst pedal ever. And you also get access to all the previous Patreon episodes, so that's about 60 hours, something like that, plus the mini-series Branton's Ranton, the upcoming J Cross series where he talks to record producers about how to get good guitar tone.
What's that called? Crossfader?
Crossfader? Crosstalk? We haven't decided yet. I'm Cross with J Cross, something like that. You're in the crosshairs of the danger zone, something like that. That's the $5 a month tier. And at $10, you become one of our executive backers, like these people have. What song should we do this week?
Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mancha, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, JD Short, Andrew McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Moot Gravett, Colin Anderson. Yeah.
Patreon. That was good. Well done. Except you said Andrew Macro's name wrong for the millionth time.
No, I didn't.
You did. His name's Andrew Macro, not Andrew Marco.
No, yeah, that's how it is. Brad Pitt is on there too.
Tony Blair, Toms.
Tony Blair. I don't care. So, I'll say your names however I want.
Indeed. And
maybe Bo Banton is, oh, is revenge.
Yeah, totally.
I want Bo Banton to become a Patreon.
You can find Guitar Nerds in all the usual places. The Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. On Twitter, @guitar nerds. On Instagram, @Bo Banton. but how many times can we say it? @Bo Banton. Thanks very much. We'll see you next week.
Bo.
Episode 100, Bo.
Bye.
Bo.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.